We are seeking the whole of what Jesus offers. In these chapters from John on the death and the resurrection of Jesus, we see that what Jesus has secured for humanity and for creation is the descent of the Holy Spirit, the creation of the church, a new means of forgiveness, a mission for God's people, Jesus' presence within us, and his authority over all creation. But perhaps our temptation is to pick and to choose from this list those items that we feel most comfortable with, and to say that that's enough. The wholeness comes from Jesus' death and resurrection. The whole is found in Jesus. And this is central to the teaching in John's Gospel. And we are seeking the whole. To believe, so that we might have life and have it in abundance. Not just strictly for our own personal gain, but for the life of the world. The dedication of children today and the dedications that will happen over the coming weeks remind us that we are called to live out the whole of our faith so that the coming generations can catch a glimpse in our relationships and our gathering together of the whole. We want them to see and hear and taste and touch the whole of faith. It is part of the essence of the church created by Jesus that those who have had faith for years demonstrate and live out what they were once given, and they share it with those who are new to faith. Whereas those who are new to faith share their energy and the freshness of their new life with those who have been with faith for years. Baptism and communion are an essential part of this whole. They are clearly described and inaugurated and commanded in the Gospels of Mark and Matthew and Luke. They're modeled in Acts. Paul discusses them frequently in the epistles, and the earliest church, both all the earliest churches, practiced communion and baptism. They are to our faith, but all of them are connected with Jesus in John's Gospel, with their death and resurrection. Jesus died to make these available to us. Will we treat them as optional? All describe baptism and communion as part of our connection to Jesus. They are to faith what wedding vows are to a marriage. Sure, a couple can just live together, and perhaps live together happily and all will work out. But we are seeking something more in marriage when we gather the church and ask for their blessing and present our vows to them. When we present our wedding, our vows before God and ask for God's blessing, we are seeking for something more. It is the same with baptism and communion. What about John's Gospel, though? It is the only Gospel that doesn't include Jesus' baptism. It's the only Gospel that doesn't include the Last Supper. Now, we've been thinking about how John was probably the last gospel written, and perhaps very late in the first century. It could have been 50 to 60 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus, after Pentecost and the church's inauguration. I wonder if you can think back 50 to 60 years. Imagine that much time has elapsed since Jesus' baptism. Imagine you have it well documented before you. You have all these other Gospels and all these other letters describing those events. And everyone around you is practicing baptism and communion. If you were John, what would you say about them now? Let's think about our own lives and think back 50 to 60 years in Saskatchewan to the advent of Medicare, of universal health care in Canada, which began here in Saskatchewan. In one sense, it is a very well-known event. In one sense, everyone experiences it day by day. We all know what it's like to live with universal health care. If you were now today to reflect on that event, and you know that it is well documented, many other people have written about it, the facts of the events are written out, what would you say about it now? Wouldn't you be likely to say something new? Something to capture the importance, the meaning, the cost that it came with, the struggle that it came with. The details are all known, and we are experiencing it, and yet, as human beings, don't we tend to take things for granted? Isn't it likely that someone would try and capture the meaning and the importance and the significance and the cost at which it came? John doesn't describe or document Jesus' baptism or the Last Supper. But to a church that is practicing both, he wrote, "Jesus said, you must be born of water and spirit." And he said, John wrote that Jesus said, "I am the living bread from heaven. Eat and live forever. The bread that I give for the life of the world. It is my flesh. Unless you eat, you have no life in you." It seems unlikely to me that John would have written this about Jesus who inaugurated baptism and communion to a church that was practicing baptism and communion and have been oblivious to how it might have been read. "Oh, you thought when I said you must be born of water, you thought baptism. Oh, my mistake." I think John was trying to capture for believers the meaning, the importance of baptism and communion. He would have known the significance of those words of bread and of water and of blood. It seems unlikely that he would have thought we would read him inaccurately. They are pointing to baptism and communion as profound, transformative, essential, life-giving, intimate moments with Jesus. And this was illustrated beautifully in today's resurrection story. The disciples were together, apparently in Galilee now. Peter said, "I'm going fishing, back to something I know." And all night the disciples worked, casting out their nets, hauling them in, rowing around. And in the morning light, Jesus appeared on the beach and called to them. And when they came ashore, Jesus had made a fire. He had bread frying and a fish frying on the fire. Can you picture this? Jesus, who has just rose from the dead, who has all authority in heaven and earth now, who is, as we sing, King of kings and Lord of lords. And what is he doing? Here he is on the beach, gathering the ingredients for bread, mixing and rolling out the dough, catching a fish and cleaning it, getting it ready, and then calling in the boys for breakfast. Early in the morning, carrying out these menial everyday chores for his brothers as they come in from work. And he says, "Come, eat some breakfast." It is such a gentle and playful and intimate moment, and it reveals Jesus' love for the disciples, his brothers. "Come and eat. I have prepared this meal for you." Our discomfort, we often have discomfort as Baptists, as evangelicals, when we talk about God's presence and activity and work in the midst of baptism and communion. But I want to ask you if you've ever been part of worship and singing, and God has moved your heart or spoken to you in that moment. I wonder if you've ever been reading the Bible and something has spoken right to you out of these simple English words. I wonder if you've ever been in prayer with a group and you've sensed God at work. I wonder if you've ever listened to preaching and felt that some word was meant for you in particular. I wonder if in the midst of serving someone else or in the midst of a group activity and service that you've suddenly felt like God was there and active in some special way. Has there ever been a time in any activity where you suddenly sensed something different was happening? That God was speaking to you, nudging your heart, touching your mind or your soul? And in some ways it's not just a thought. It's not just a psychological moment, but rather you feel like an impact has been made and that there is some residual, some residue from that moment. And that the technical word for that residue is grace. Are baptism and communion the only places in our worship service where God cannot be at work, where God cannot speak to us or work in our lives? Are baptism and communion the only place where Jesus is not present? All those moments that I described, aren't they human things? Aren't they material things? Ministers, words, friends, music. They're quotidian in one way. They're daily, everyday things. And yet God used them to change us, to speak to us, to minister to us. And that's what those things do. There's grace imparted to us, and we change somehow in that moment. It remains with us. If you have not been baptized, whether you're young or old, no matter how long you've been part of this church, I pray that you would think about it over this summer, that you would pray about it, or that you might be ready to take this step. And this fall, we can prepare together. This is part of the whole that Jesus has for you. And on Communion Sundays, I encourage us all to come as we are able and to hear Jesus say to us, "Come and eat this meal that I have prepared for you." Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.